everyone. Welcome to No Smut Shaming. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're here to discuss all your favorite romance reads.
And all of the dirty details.
This week we'll be talking about T.L. Swan's book, Our Way.
But first, let's talk highs and lows from this week. How was your week?
So my week is pretty good. I don't really have a lot going on in my life, to be honest with you. So I don't have a lot of highs and lows, but I will tell you, I bought a ton of books ever since we started this podcast.
Yep.
And I think my new favorite love is book photography.
I think it's a skill you have. You're good at it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. How was your week?
You know what? My week was actually pretty good. I took...
Shocker.
I took a really nice beach vacation, like a quick little beach vacay.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun. We went to visit two of our friends we haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent 3 to 4 days with them. My low, though, is... I got a sunburn on my feet.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Your feet are facing the sun. I mean, it's...
So it's not the bottoms.
How would I sunburn the bottom of my feet?
I don't know. It's you, so I don't know.
True. No, the tops of my feet are just... They resemble like sweet potatoes. They're like red and it's very sad.
But you wear sunscreen.
I do, but the feet, they get all sandy and it's hard to reapply.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Look, it is painful. That is my low.
I gotcha.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to point out, we are recording our 7th episode right now.
We are.
And you read something a while ago.
So I read that there's this thing called pod fading. Out of all the podcasts in the world, 12% of the podcasts have only one episode uploaded. And they said typically podcasts kind of diminish after 7. That's usually when they kind of realize, like, either I'm going to do it or I'm not.
So you're telling me that we've hit the magic number.
We've hit 7.
But we're doing good.
We're doing good.
This is number 7. That's number exciting. 7. I'm proud of us. Okay, so this week we're talking about Our Way by T.L. Swan. This one has a 4.2 on Goodreads. And usually I give a little bit of book info.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing everyone needs to know is the cover of this book is out of control. I'm not one to really look at the covers a lot. You are.
I am.
I kind of bypassed the covers, but the cover of this book caught my eye. Wowza.
Yeah.
The guy on this cover just has like abs for days.
He has the most amazing abs I've ever seen.
So if you're on your phone right now, you just gotta pull it up.
Just pull that cover up,
trust
girl.
Me. Thank us later. Okay.
So a quick little book summary is Nathan and Eliza have been best friends for 10 years. They met on their first day of work at a hospital. Eliza is a nurse and Nathan is a cardiovascular surgeon. She was immediately attracted to him, but quickly finds out he's gay. 10 years go by with them being besties. And then one day Nathan starts to look at Eliza differently. We're about to dig into a book that includes friends to lovers, a sexual awakening, and drama, drama, drama. Let's get into it.
Yeah, this one is a full-on soap opera, it feels like. Okay, so...
Strap in, guys.
I know.
It's going to be a good one.
I know. So we start out with the prologue, and again, it's 10 years prior to where most of the book takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts out on her first day at a hospital. She's a new nurse, and when she's getting lunch, she meets a handsome guy. His name is Nathan, and he's also starting his first day, and he is just, of course, like a studly hot doctor, and she is super attracted to him. He's like, oh, do you want to get dinner? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, I should tell you, I'm gay.
Right.
And she's like, damn.
Yeah. She's like, I had plans for us, Nathan.
I know. That's the prologue. So then we flash forward to 10 years, and the past 10 years, they've just been best friends,
mm-hmm.
and their lives are super intertwined. So it starts out with Eliza getting ready for an interview. She's been a nurse, but now she's going to interview for an office manager job at this plastic surgery.
Yeah.
It's like a very upscale, swanky place.
Mm-hmm.
Before she goes, she stops by Nathan's office. Also, Nathan is like super successful because he developed a bionic heart.
Right. So in the last 10 years, he has like really climbed that ladder.
He's been busy developing robot hearts.
Robot hearts.
So he's just like cover of all the...
Right. Hot doctor.
Yeah.
Creates bionic heart.
Right.
Swoon, swoon. Okay.
Right. So she stops by his office and is chatting with his receptionist. Because they're so close, she's also close to the people who work for him. Eliza is going over his schedule and Nathan's stuff, like what he has coming up. And it sounds like they're just always doing everything together.
Right.
Like, his dad's birthday is coming up. They're going to get him a joint gift and travel to visit him together and stay in the same places. It's just like the two of them are one, but platonically. After that, she does go to her interview and she walks in. And of course, the hot...
Her potential boss is interviewing her.
It's like another hot doctor.
Dr. Henry Morgan, also super hot.
He's just like young and attractive.
Yeah.
And like a great plastic surgeon.
Right.
And so she sits down in the room for her interview, and there's like some sexual tension. She like feels the heat.
But this is also like, it's inappropriate.
You know what's more inappropriate? Is when she interviews and he's like, man, you are perfect for this.
Yeah, this is the part that I think is inappropriate.
I mean, rightfully so, because he goes, there's just one problem. I'm attracted to you.
Just sucks to be Eliza.
So,
but who says that in an interview?
She's like, she really wants the job. So she's like, not going to be a problem. I'm super professional and I have a boyfriend. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm professional too. Questionable. And you having a boyfriend helps. Like, that's a good boundary. You shouldn't need it, but like, okay. She leaves the interview and she goes down to the bar to meet up with Nathan. Nathan tells her that he's found her a new apartment. Again, he's like super rich.
Right. So he has his own apartment, but he always stays with Eliza in her smaller apartment.
Yeah. She has like a studio or a one bedroom apartment. They live in San Francisco. So he does have like his own luxury apartment. Right. But we learn a little bit more about their past. So Eliza had a boyfriend and they broke up 2 years ago. And ever since then, Nathan just kind of moved into her tiny apartment.
Right.
They share the same bed and he's there every night. So he decides to rent her a bigger apartment so he can stay there with more of his stuff. And at the same lunch, he also hands her an envelope, which is her surprise birthday gift.
This is just bonkers.
Like, okay, just to like put this in perspective, for your birthday, what did I get you? Like some mugs.
You got me a cool mug with our faces on it.
I got you a salad bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the gifts that we exchange. Nathan gifted Eliza a trip to Spain.
Two tickets to Spain for 14 days.
14-day trip to Spain.
Right. And the year prior, he took her to Italy.
Of course he did. I also want to point out...
So maybe we need to step up our game.
You've forgotten who we are. But I also want to point out, during their conversations, he calls her baby and he calls her my girl. And I guess that could be a friendly thing.
I don't know. Baby just sounds
so... I don't call you baby.
Sounds so intimate. Like, if it was more like Eliza Babe, I don't know. That just doesn't sound as intimate as baby.
Yeah. We do find out soon that she does get the job at the plastic surgery office. And then she's excited about that. And then she's also excited about her trip to Spain. And so she asks Nathan if he wants to go shopping the next day because she needs some new bikinis for her new trip.
Again, and at first he's like, I don't really want to, but fine, I'll go.
Because they do everything together.
They do everything.
So she takes him shopping and she picks out some suits to try on. And she comes out.
In a gold bikini.
In a gold bikini.
Like Princess Leia.
Yep. And he's like, who?
He gets a little twitch in his pants.
And he's never had a twitch.
And he's like, oh no.
Because he's gay. But he's like getting these little feelings. And he's so caught off guard by this. Again, friendship for 10 years and he's never had a twitch. And
never.
He just stands up and just leaves.
No twitch with her or any female.
Any female.
Right.
So he is so confused.
Right.
That he, like,
his brain is just, it can't compute.
He's just like short circuiting.
What's happening?
Yep.
What's happening?
Yep. So he just leaves and he's like,
he's like, I gotta go.
He's like, I'll wait for you outside. So she's like, that was weird. So she buys her gold bikini because it looked great on her, and she goes outside to meet him, and he's like pacing on the sidewalk, and she's like, everything okay?
What's wrong with my dong?
She's like, everything okay over there? And he's like, no, I gotta go. And so he just like brushes her off and bolts, and she's kind of like, that was weird, but
yeah, she just plays it off.
Yeah. And so later that day, she had plans to go to lunch with two of her girlfriends. I think she has two.
Jolie and Brooke.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Not great with names. They're just gabbing and they're talking about how they've all been single for a while.
Right. They're successful women in their 30s and they are just hitting a rut.
One of them also brings up that, you know, like, I don't think, Eliza, your arrangement with Nathan is conducive to you getting a boyfriend. And she's
you're not going to meet anyone.
Yeah. They point out that he's got his own apartment. So if he wanted to go to Bangtown,
he can.
He can. But he stays with you every night. Mm-hmm. You so don't have the opportunity.
If you wanted to go to Bangtown, what are you going to do?
Right. You really can't.
Right.
And she's like, huh, mm-hmm. well, yeah. never thought about it like that. And she does know she wants to get married and have kids one day. And so she kind of agrees like, yeah, you know, we probably should make a change here. They make a deal to each other like, okay, we're all going to go out on one date and just force themselves back out there. Obviously, when you've been dating for a while, you're kind of like, men are not worth it. But they force themselves out there. But mm-hmm. then at the same lunch, oh, one of her friends goes to the bar to get a drink and starts chatting up like this Italian guy, I think.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. What's his name?
Santiago.
And
they look over there and she's just laughing.
Yeah.
She's just tossing her head back. And they're like, what's so funny?
I know. And so her friend brings Santiago back to the table.
Yeah. And they're like, what have you been laughing at?
And this guy is so sleazy. this guy is so
gross.
You got to trust us. This guy is sleazy. So imagine you're out of lunch with your friends and your friend brings back this guy you don't know. And he pulls out his phone and shows you videos of himself having sex with other women.
Right.
It's so weird.
And she thinks this is hilarious.
The friend not only thinks it's funny, she's like interested.
Oh, yeah. She's turned on.
She's like, this does it for me.
Yeah. She's like, I think I would participate.
And her friends are like, ew.
So gross.
But her friend's
and
like,
and it wasn't one video. It was multiple videos with multiple random women.
And I just want to point out, this book is long, so we may not touch back on this, but just know her friend is with the Santiago guy being filmed having sex throughout the book.
Yeah, so she's the dumbest girl in all the land. The fact that she's turned on by this. I'm like, you are a smart, professional woman. And you're like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, Santiago.
Record me. Mm.
So after lunch, they go meet up with the guides, including Nathan. It sounds like they have like a little friend group. And Nathan and Eliza are both in this friend group with her two friends. And he has some friends. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they're at like a dinner bar because they have dinner, but there's also dancing and a DJ and music. Eliza's been drinking at lunch and she's been drinking at dinner. And mm-hmm. so she's like feeling good.
Feeling good. She's out there on the dance floor.
On the dance floor. And this other guy comes up and is like all over her, like hands on the hips, dancing.
Also a doctor.
Another hot doctor. Is this Sam?
This is Sam. Yeah. The anesthesiologist.
The thought of having multiple hot doctors.
Poor Eliza.
Feel so bad for her.
So horrible.
I know. Nathan sees her dancing with this guy and he's in like a fit of rage. He hates it. Which like, what?
Yeah.
We'll get there. So he sees a lot that Eliza's drunk and mm-hmm. he's like, this is bad for some reason, although it sounds fun. But either way, he drags her out of the bar.
Yeah. I mean, the point is that he shouldn't care this much.
But he does.
He cares.
And he drags her out of the bar mm-hmm. and he makes like this comment. I forget if he said it in his head or he said it out loud, but he's just like, ugh, drunk women. Is there anything more annoying?
And I was like, yeah, drunk men.
So he takes her back to their little shared apartment, takes off her dress when they walk in, and he takes her makeup off for her.
I feel like you would appreciate this.
This is so good.
Because Kristen will take off her makeup every night, regardless of a situation, if she's drunk, anything. You will take off your makeup.
There could be like
a tsunami, and she's like, wait a minute. Let me take this makeup off.
I preach to our friends, like, yeah. You go to sleep with your makeup on? We need to have a chat. So there's one friend out there listening that you know who you are.
And they're like, hey.
But yeah, I did appreciate that she needs to have her makeup taken off.
I mean, and it's also very like, I don't know.
It's an intimate. It is. But she quickly falls asleep. But then as she's laying there in bed, he's like checking out her bod. Mm-hmm. He kind of gets all hot and bothered.
Kinda.
So much so. He's literally laying next to her and just starts like touching himself.
Right.
And then
he's like,
I gotta get out of here. And he hops in the shower mm-hmm. and takes care of business.
Right. Which will be one of many showers he takes.
This is a common theme as right. he's dealing
as
with.
He's conflicted. Right.
Yeah. And so the morning after he jacked off to the thought of his female best friend, he's like, something's wrong with me.
I mean, 34 years, nada.
Nothing towards a woman.
Nothing. No twitches down there.
So he does the right thing. Mm-hmm. He finds a therapist immediately. Because he just now feels like weird and guilty about what he did.
Right. He feels like he
violated her a little bit. He goes to therapy. He tells his new therapist that he's never been attracted to women, but he's starting to have like sexual feelings towards his best friend. And then his therapist is trying to dig into his past a little bit and asking about his first sexual experience.
As they all do, right? They need a backstory. They need to know what's going on. Yeah, and he totally gets super pissed.
It might be his first bout of therapy. He does eventually tell the therapist that when he was younger and at camp, he was rooming with another boy, Robert, and one night they started to kiss and it kind of escalated. Eventually, they fell in love and they were together until Nathan moved to San Francisco and Robert wouldn't move. And so they broke up. He does tell his therapist that he has had some casual sex partners, but they've always been men. And then the therapist is like, so tell me about your female friend, Eliza. And so he talks about her, and then he's very clear that he doesn't want to ruin their friendship.
Right. It's like the most important thing to him.
And then he also says, he's like, I'm a lot to handle sexually. And the therapist is like, what? And he's like, I like it rough and I'm large.
Right. I was like, come on.
He's like, she's very small and fragile and I have a giant dick. He's worried they're not going to be sexually compatible because...
I just feel like if you're a doctor, you should know that a vagina can handle your big dick, okay? Your vagina can pop out a baby. Mm-hmm. I think it can handle your
He's
dick.
He's too big.
Too big.
He's too big.
Yeah. Just going to tear her up. That's like the arrogance on this guy.
So the therapist tells him after he spills his guts, I think you're in love with her. The therapist says that he thinks it's just taken his body time to catch up to his feelings because of how hurt he was from Robert.
So the therapist is like, you've been in love with her, but maybe your body is just now catching up with your heart.
But like 10 years.
So he must be really hung up on Robert.
He's just like really slow.
Right.
The bot is slow.
Slow.
That night, Nathan and Eliza have plans to go to this charity event together. They do this a lot. This sounds like a normal thing for them. I guess that happens when you create robot hearts. You're just like invited to stuff. And it said these tickets were $10,000 apiece.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
So she's in like a sexy dress. They go, they mingle, and they dance on the dance floor.
And who pops up?
Her new employer,
Henry. Morgan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time, because earlier, whenever Nathan was like, oh, how was the interview? How was the boss? She was like, oh, he was fine. Nothing special.
Right.
But we know he's hot. So whenever Nathan sees Henry for the first time,
he's like, oh, he's also attractive.
Right. And he gets like super territorial of Eliza, like putting his arm around her, giving her kisses.
But she introduces him. This is my boyfriend.
Yeah. Because in the interview, she said, this isn't a problem because I have a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You could tell that Nathan was like super jealous and super territorial. But at the end of the night, they go home. He helps her out of her dress in front of a floor-length mirror. And so they have a moment where he's like running his hands on her body and they're making eye contact in this mirror. And she's now, for the first time, really feeling something for her gay best friend.
Well, I think she also feels that this is a different sort of interaction than they ever had.
This is new territory, for sure. He's never like... run his hands. So she's like, oh.
Yeah.
Also, she's been single for 2 years.
She hasn't had sex in 2 years.
So I feel like any touch, she's like,
But they cuddle like every night in bed.
I know. But this time in the mirror, he's got like that look in his eye that's like hungry. And then he realizes what he's doing. He like backs away, hands off, and is like, let's get ready for bed and just... ends it. And then they just cuddle and fall asleep that night.
Doesn't he jump back in the shower? Isn't this shower number two where he jacks off?
Yeah. So he realizes what he's doing. He's like, let's get ready for bed.
Gotta go to the shower again.
So yeah, then he jumps back in the shower and jacks off to her again. But then they get in bed and cuddle. Again, the next day, he spends like the entire day trying to figure out his feelings again. He has so much fear that if he makes a move, he'll ruin their friendship, which I get.
I get that. But the moment you start developing like feelings for your friend, the friendship is already about to change.
It's already different.
So you might as well just start taking care of it.
Yeah. He comes home late, gets in bed with her like they usually do every night. And she tells him she's looking to start dating again. Like, because she met with her friends a few days ago. She tells him, you know, I think I want to start dating again.
And I also think the interaction that they had the night before kind of makes her realize like, I miss
it. Like
miss
sparks it. She's like, I miss having sex.
Yeah.
And she tells him that. And he has like a pretty dismissive move here. He just like tosses her vibrator at her and is just like, if you miss sex, take care of it with
such
this.
That's a dick thing to do.
Like, really? That's so insensitive. But the next day she's going to work, and in the hallway she runs into that hot doctor, the anesthesiologist, Sam.
Sam. Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of embarrassed because she kind of forgot, because she was pretty drunk whenever they were dancing. But he's like, hey, I think you're really cool. Do you want to get dinner one night? And she says yes. So then later that night, Eliza is at home and she's cooking, and then Nathan comes home and she tells him to hop in the shower because dinner will be ready soon. And he pulls quite the move here. So he goes, again, it's a really small apartment. So mm-hmm. he goes into the bedroom, door open, undresses, and then walks to the bathroom, eye contact with like his monster dong just like hanging between his legs. And it's just like, mm-hmm.
It's just an elephant trunk right there in between his legs.
It's like he wanted her to see like how loaded he was. You know, like,
oh, she noticed.
She noticed. Later that night, she's about to get in bed and Nathan's already in bed and he's reading shirtless. And again, she's already, like we said, like a little hot and bothered, just like needs
2 years.
Two years. Ready for some touching. So she sees him shirtless and she's like, could you like God, not always be half naked? And he's like, we're always half naked around each other. Mm-hmm. Why is it bothering you now? And she's just like, I'm horny. Okay.
She just flat out says
she does. And again, he just like throws a vibrator at her.
Right.
And tells her to actually like do it in front of him. And she's just like, oh, like,
well, I mean, what would you say? Like, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Yes. I'm sorry.
I don't care how close you are.
Mm-mm. No.
You don't get yourself off in front of your best friend.
No.
That's like a...
And you don't just toss a vibrator at her, hit her with a dildo. Like, I just don't understand.
So she just like huffs at him and just like tries to fall asleep. And so the next day she had made plans with Sam for like a little lunch date.
And she didn't tell Nathan.
She did not tell him. But when they're having lunch, and they're having lunch in the hospital cafeteria.
Right.
Because she hasn't started her new job yet. She's still at her old job. Mm-hmm. And Nathan walks by and sees them.
He's like, well, well, well.
Yeah. Fancy seeing you here. She feels like busted because she didn't tell him. And he's clearly irritated about her date. Again. And she tells him like, it was casual. I'm not even that interested.
She shouldn't even have to explain herself.
No. And then he seems satisfied with that answer, so he's just like, oh, okay, we're back to normal now. So now the next day is her first day at her new job, and she goes and her new hot sexy doctor boss is showing her around. This is her first time learning about plastic surgery, so he's talking about all the different plastic surgeries, including labia surgery. But ouch. I mean, and then
he got really detailed, though.
He did. He was like, and my was preferred like, vagina is pink and plump.
Right. And he was saying, oh, well, it kind of just depends on the partner and how they want the vagina to look. And I'm like, why are you doing this?
Also, like, it's not about the partner.
No.
They'll take what they can get. Okay?
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, she walks out of the office or downstairs with Henry, her new boss. Mm-hmm. And Nathan is waiting for her downstairs because they had plans to celebrate her first day.
Let me guess, he's angry.
He is fuming because they walk out just like laughing and talking like people do. Nathan again is like super territorial, pulls her in, gives her a big old kiss. She gets kind of irritated at him because he's acting like a jealous freak.
Yeah.
He has an attitude about her new boss. And, you know, like, it's her boss.
He keeps telling her to quit. He's like, just work for me.
No.
And I'm like,
no. They get into a little bit of a tiff. She kind of like stalks away and he follows her and they just go to a bar and order some drinks. And they're kind of talking out their little disagreement. And then he asks her something very interesting that kind of turns the corner. If I wasn't gay, would you be interested in me? And she says yes. She's like, obviously, yes. You give me everything I need in life, mm-hmm. except for one thing. Your dick. They just have like a couple margaritas and stumble home. So they get home. They're kind of drunk. They get in bed.
She's like, ooh, my back's tight.
Yeah. She's like, mm. And he's like, I'll massage it for you.
And this is like the hottest massage ever.
Yeah. And she's like so relaxed. She's like, forgets where she is.
And I just forgot what it feels like for a massage to be foreplay. When I ask for a massage, he's like, fine.
No, this guy's like, I'll massage you. Like, oils are up, gets her all. she thinks she can feel his dong like pressing up against her.
If it's as big as they make it out to be, yeah, she's feeling it.
She's feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
When he finishes massaging her, he like pulls her in and like starts running his hands on her body again. And by this point, she is charged up.
And she's all in.
She's in.
Mm-hmm.
He like puts his hand on her breast and she can like feel his erection again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like ready to get down to business. She's like, I don't know what's happening, but I know that I like it. I know that I want it.
Let's do this.
And then as they're about to... they're like about to kiss or have a moment, his phone rings.
Right. Which kind of snaps him out of it.
Yeah. He jumps up and he grabs his clothes and she asks where he's going. And he's like, I got to get away from you.
Right.
And he leaves. So the next morning, she's panicking a little bit because she's scared about hurting their friendship as well. And he's not answering her phone calls and just kind of ignoring her. So she goes to his office to talk to him. And of course, he's super cranky. Shocker. And then he pretty much blames her for them crossing the line last night.
Yeah. It's like dick move number, what, 50? I don't know.
He just tells, like, I need some space from you. Putting it all on her.
Mm, yeah.
So he makes another appointment with his therapist, which is a good thing for him to do. Because more so than ever, he is really struggling with his feelings for Eliza. This is interesting. I mean, his main concern is that if they were to have sex, one of them wouldn't like it. And
I mean, he's physically attracted to her. The parts seem like they're all there, all the components. But he's worried if he takes that final step, he's just going to be like, ooh, I don't really like vagina.
And he's also worried he won't know how to please a woman. Right. He's never been there before.
I feel like that is like a side note. I feel like it's really more like, I don't know if I'm going to like it.
That's true. It is more about him.
Yeah.
His therapist gives him some advice that maybe he should have some casual sex with a woman.
He reminds him there's all these other women in the world.
Yeah.
So maybe like, just test it out.
His therapist is like, test the waters.
Mm-hmm.
Just see if it's something you would enjoy without ruining a lifelong friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So that weekend, we fast forward a little bit. They have plans to go visit his family for his dad's birthday.
Right. And they're both still angry with each other.
Yeah. They haven't really spoken since their fight. And he blamed her for all of the stuff.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? You don't have to go.
Yeah. He tries to uninvite her.
I was like, wow. 10 years. 10 years of friendship.
I know. She's like, no, I'm coming. I love your parents.
Right.
And so he picks her up and they're kind of bickering with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And things are just weird. He honestly kind of has a temper tantrum, which he does a lot.
He's a man child.
Yeah. That nice Dr. Sam is texting her a little bit and that, you know, sets him off. And he's just insanely jealous again. But he does eventually tell her that, you know, the reason I was so upset the other day is because, you know, like he thinks he took advantage of her. They were kind of drunk. He feels like he broke her trust.
And once again, I feel like Eliza's making him feel better. And she's like, you know what? Yeah, we had a couple drinks. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And they do have a moment where they lock eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes for the first time, like, am I falling in love with my best friend?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a problem.
You were probably in love with him the entire time.
But he's gay.
Yeah. So
that's toughy.
Can't do anything.
That's toughy.
You don't have the parts.
So they get to his parents' mansion. And they typically share a room in the guest wing of the house. They arrive and it's super late. So they just get ready for bed and they're in bed looking at each other and they have another little moment, little eye contact moment. And he makes a comment to her that's something like, have you ever wanted something so bad that you can taste it? You would do anything to have it. She doesn't say anything.
She's like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah. And he just turns over. And when she wakes up the next morning, she realizes
he's such a brat.
He is a little bit of a brat. And she wakes up the next morning and realizes he slept in the guest room.
I think for me is, yeah, he's getting all these feelings for her. So he's processing it in his head. But you have to imagine where she is coming from. He's gay. Like so for 10 years, he's off limits. And he is just like asking her all these like deep questions, you know, like
giving her these glances.
Right. And still, you know, she's always like, regardless of how I feel, you're gay. Like, yeah. She can't do anything.
Right. So expecting her to make the first move.
Yeah.
Is insane because.
Why would she do that to herself?
I know. Anyways, so. You okay over there? So that afternoon, he goes to get a drink with his brother and they're kind of hanging out and he's confessing all of his feelings and struggles he has with Eliza.
He's always confessed everything to Alex.
And we find out it's because his brother Alex caught him and.
In a compromising position.
With Robert whenever he was younger. Right. And so ever since then, they kind of broke down some barriers and they're super open with each other. Nathan is telling Alex.
Yeah. So he's telling him all these things about, you know, Eliza, how he's feeling. And then his brother's like, are you gay?
Like, this part is a little weird because can you imagine, just imagine that like you are totally gay and your totally straight brother is like, you're not gay for these reasons.
Yeah. So he like lists them out. He's like, you don't have any gay friends. All your friends are straight. You don't like anything campy.
You don't like gay bars.
Right. You've never questioned or battled with your sexuality. And I'm like, are these check marks to being gay?
I don't know. Like, it's not a formula.
Right.
I think it was good for him to talk out his feelings a little bit with his brother. Mm-hmm. And his brother ended up giving him some small pieces of advice. But they're back at the house for the dad's birthday party. And the phone that they're using to play the music dies. And so his mom asks Eliza, can you run up and get Nathan's phone? And so when she's upstairs, she sees that someone named Stephanie has been texting Nathan. And she's like, that's kind of weird, but whatever. And then whenever she looks on the computer... I forget why she looked at the search history.
I can't remember, but she does look at it and she finds a lot of street porn.
He's been watching a lot of street porn. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And it just really throws her for a loop. She's looking at all of this and he walks in and sees her and she's just looks at him like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you not telling me?
And he just like panics.
He does. And he's like, I'm confused. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on.
But he also says that he has feelings for Stephanie, right?
Yeah, he tells her that he's like experimenting. Not that he has a girlfriend, but that
he's seeing someone.
He's seeing someone. And it's Stephanie, that girl who's been texting him.
I mean, just imagine your mind just blown.
She just feels really betrayed because I think she always thought that if he were going to love a woman, it would be her. Mm-hmm. And to see that like he's experimenting with somebody who's not her.
Right. But I think that's the only reason that she's so offended is because she's always had those feelings for him.
Yeah.
You know, like if she didn't care... I mean, maybe it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
I know. I think she's always thought that, like, if there was going to be any girl for him.
It would have been me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So she feels pretty betrayed. They kind of just are weird around each other and they fly home and they're still not really talking. When they get home.
But she feels bad.
She starts to feel guilty. And she feels bad because she's like, shoot, like my friend was trying to open up to me about his sexuality and I yelled at him.
Right.
And again, they only have their own sides of the story, right? Mm-hmm. So she doesn't know what's going on with him, but she feels guilty and she does go to his apartment. She apologizes and they just kind of cuddle and get over it. But now that Nathan has confessed some of this stuff to her, not all of it, he's now more than ever desperate to figure out if he would enjoy sex with a woman.
What are these feelings? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my thing.
And here it comes.
Again, his therapist did tell him, like, experiment with somebody who's not your lifelong best friend. Mm-hmm.
It's not like he has a ton of straight female friends. It's mostly, I mean, he spends all his time with Eliza.
I know. So here's what he does. Our boy Nathan here hits up the Club Exotic. And a nice young lady named Bunny greets him. And he walks in and he's like turned on. He's like, all these women now do it for me. He casually does a line of coke in the Exotic Club.
I don't get it.
Now, here's where I'm confused.
He's a heart doctor.
If he wanted to experiment with a woman, Club Exotic is the place to do it. Mm-hmm. It's filled with women who you could...
That is their profession.
Right. Like, you could hand over some wads of cash and do some experimenting.
Right.
But instead...
He takes it one step further.
He takes a line of coke, and then he goes to see Stephanie. And we do learn that he earlier had told Eliza that Stephanie is just a girl from the gym, and that is not the case. Stephanie is a friend from work.
She's a cardiovascular surgeon.
She's a coworker. He knows her pretty well. And a little backstory on Stephanie is that they bonded because she knew he was gay. She opened up to him over a couple lunches that she thought her husband was cheating on her.
And the nail in the coffin.
The nail in the coffin is she's like, I think he's cheating on me. And when she tells him the story, Nathan's like, your husband is gay. And she's like, what? Why? And he's like, he asked you to wear a strap on and fuck him. Like, red flag. So he leaves Club Exotic, high on some coke, goes to Stephanie's, barges in, kisses her, brings her to the couch, whips out his dick and goes, suck it. Kid you not.
I know. I read it, too.
I just was like, bold.
Right.
She does it. And then he feels awful and just bolts. And so the next
let's touch on that. Okay. Like I already questioned Nathan as a human being. Yeah. Like, you know, he asked this woman that he's supposed to be friends with for a little action. And then he just literally runs out the door.
He gets his.
Yeah. And he's
and
like,
leaves.
Bye.
Thanks, Steph.
And as Stephanie's like wiping her mouth, you know, I'm like,
like, we find out later that she was like super pissed about this.
She should have been.
Rightfully so.
Oh my gosh.
So he bolts the next morning, wakes up, feels awful.
Because this is the Nathan show, okay?
All about Nathan.
It's all about Nathan.
He's now in like this deep, dark hole of despair, right? He like checks out of life.
I feel like it's a little self-induced. I don't think it could have been as bad if he could just talk. Use words.
Nope, can't do it. So he takes a week off of work. He doesn't answer any phone calls. And Eliza's trying to reach him. And nope, ignore. Mm-hmm. They haven't talked in like a week. And she's on her way home. She sees Nathan standing outside of her door. And before they say anything, he runs up and just kisses her. Which is like, for her, really out of the blue. I mean,
like, not even caring how this is going to affect her.
Nope. He kisses her. He confesses all his feelings for her and tells her that he wants her. Again, for me, totally abrupt. Mm-hmm. Came out of nowhere for her. And she's caught off guard and she's like, wait, you just told me that you were kind of dating a girl named Stephanie, but now you like me. Who's Stephanie? He's like, no, she doesn't mean anything to me. It's all about you.
And when he means you, he means Nathan.
He's like, no, I was only going to see Stephanie to see if my body would work with a woman's. And she was like, excuse me, what? And she's like, did you touch her? Like, did she touch you? And she goes, did she suck you off? And I was like, specific.
He keeps saying like, nah, it
He's
doesn't
like, no,
matter.
Doesn't matter. Not important. Not important. I love you. It's all about you. You and me. You and me. You and me. Which in my mind, he's just saying me.
Because he is.
And she's like, so you're telling me that you have feelings for me and then you went and blew your load down another girl's throat? Like, not cool.
And he's like, it was like a medical procedure. Like, it wasn't any emotions. He's like, this was strictly just a scientific experiment.
And she's like, get out. Like, no. She's so deeply hurt by this. Mm-hmm. Again, because she feels sad that he gave away his first female sexual experience to somebody that wasn't her.
But he still doesn't get it.
No. But the next morning, they agree to get dinner that night because they clearly have some things to talk about. Mm-hmm. When they're at dinner, he does lay it all on the table for the first time.
Right.
He talks about the gold bikini to the shower jerk-offs. He tells her all about Stephanie. She's like, I love you, but I don't have the parts to make you happy.
Like, he basically says, I'm always on top.
Yeah.
I do the fucking.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. She just tells him, you know, I need some time to think about this all. Like, she's worried about their friendship and she just wants a little bit of space to like process this. Because again, this whole time he's been processing it, but this is all brand new for her. A few days later, she's getting lunch at work.
So this is really cute.
This is cute. So back in the prologue, right, when it was their first day, they met over lunch and
in the cafeteria line,
like a few days past after the little fight, she's getting lunch at work and she hears a voice behind her and it's Nathan. And they kind of replay their first initial meeting where they reintroduce each other, except for this time, whenever he's like, do you want to get dinner? And she's like, oh, as friends. And he goes, no, like a date.
Yeah.
It was like them attempting a fresh start 10 years too late a little bit. But like, it was them attempting a fresh start and it was kind of a sweet moment. And so
but that's sweet moment doesn't last forever in this book.
It lasts a little bit longer because he comes over that night.
That's true. Yeah.
Again, they're still going to Spain soon, so she's packing for Spain. He's pouring them some champagne. He kind of grabs her and pops her up on the counter, starts to feel her up a little bit, and she's like, ooh, I'm turned on. He starts to kiss her and he has to stop himself because he told himself before that he would take it slow.
And you know, he likes it rough.
Oh, boy. So he's like, nope, we're going to take it slow. So she, you know, pops off the counter, goes to finish packing. And when she's done, she joins him on the couch. And so she lays next to him. And again, he's like running his hands on her bod.
Just asking for it.
And again, she's instantly turned on. It starts to heat up. He's like kissing her neck. And then she rolls to her back. And then he starts heading on down south.
So this is his first experience with a full-on vagina up in his face.
This is it. And he's just like, whoa.
Yeah. And he's just like looking at it and he's like touching it.
Yeah. He's just like, can I see it? Like, he's like poking around there. So funny to me. And he's like, this is awesome. And then he goes down on her and makes her come in like 30 seconds.
Right.
Which is impressive because, again, he's basically
he's a vagina virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he is just already like an expert down
expert.
There.
Expert. Mm-hmm. Yep. I do want to note after he gets her off, he just like immediately just like comes on her stomach. I want to point out that it said he like rubbed his semen into her body like a lotion.
Yeah, like a lotion.
Just
rubbing it
just
in.
Just spreading it all around.
I'm going to go take a shower.
Now they know their bodies are working well together.
Right.
He wants to bang so bad, but again...
So does she.
She does too. She's initially disappointed that he doesn't want to have sex with her, but then she's like, don't you want me to suck you off?
And well, he's like... man is like, nah.
He's like, yeah, that sounds awesome. She hits the floor and he just comes in seconds again.
Right.
And then...
And I think it's funny that every time she sucks him off, they describe it as, I see stars.
Yeah, he just like blacks out. Immediately after that, he flips her onto her back, and it said, it literally said he bit her clit.
So I did some research. The thought of someone biting a clit, I mean, there's so many nerve endings in a clit. Twice as much as a penis. And so I'm like, could you imagine if I was like, I bit his dick? Do you think he would have just like shot his load? No. I just can't imagine that he bit her clit and she was like,
yeah,
you know?
She came immediately.
Yeah. Like, what kind of clit do you have?
Like, like a magical one. You take all the pain.
I don't get it.
So the next morning, she wakes up to him just touching her because he is obsessed with her vagina.
He's like a 17-year-old boy now where he is just like,
he's
all
like,
about it.
This is the coolest thing ever.
Morning, noon, and night. Let's do this.
Yeah. And then he kisses her awake and then just like starts sucking on the nipples. Like, he is just like all about
her
body.
Her babies.
Yeah. But then he's like, we got to catch our flight. But he's like, once we get to Spain, I'm going to fuck your brains out. Basically, he's like, you'll be able to walk for a week. And she's like,
Can't wait.
Love that for a vacation. So they get to Spain and they just casually check in to the penthouse of this mansion hotel for 14 nights. Oh, my God. They go to dinner that night. It's technically their first date. And then after dinner, they just like race back to the room. They are both just ready. He like slides her dress off and then he takes her panties off and sniffs them. And I feel like this happens in a lot of books, but like it kind of grosses me out.
Like I said, it goes back to, oh, you taste like strawberries. Like, no one tastes like a fruit salad down
just
there.
Just like
okay?
The thought of just like the panties and like, I'm like not into it. The sniffing of the underwear. I'm just like, I could do without.
You guys have been on a plane all day.
Personal preference, could do without. So, of course, like every day he goes down on her.
He said that's his new favorite toy is her, quote, tiny vagina.
But now it's time, like, she wants him, like, for real. Of course, he has just, like, the world's biggest elephant trunk dick. So it's painful for her.
It's always like, oh, he had to stretch me out. I'm like, God. He had to readjust himself.
It's not like a pool floaty. Like, not a pool noodle. It's not, it's like, come on.
And then I was like,
it's an appendage.
Bottomed out. I'm like, okay.
It's not like his calf is going in here. Like, it's not that big. Come on. It's painful for her, but when he goes into the kill, they power through and just have like the world's best boning session ever.
Well, and then they stars argue, is it because he's so big or is it because she's so small?
She's so tiny.
Because he's like, my dick hurts after they have sex because she's just so
she's
tight.
She's so tiny. Give me a break. So they spend the next few days just like having the best time, eating, drinking, just sexing. He asks if whenever they get back, can they move in together permanently in the new apartment that he got for her?
It's just like one step after another.
It's very, very quick.
And I think he thinks it's okay because they've been friends for so long.
But it's still a new relationship.
It's a whole new chapter in his life. He's like into females now.
Yeah.
You know?
She says yes. And they basically spend the next week of the vacation with him going down on her.
Because she's got like rose colored glasses on. You know, she's in this beautiful place.
Yeah.
This beautiful mansion. They're walking the beach together.
She's getting her clit bit. Rose-colored glasses.
You're not thinking logically, Eliza.
When she gets back, she is so excited to talk to her friends because she's like, she's in love and she's excited to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
She gets together with them for lunch and she's like, Nathan and I are in love.
But they get in a fight over this.
They do because they're like, sweetie,
because
he's
apparently
gay.
He like called his friend or his brother on the trip and was just like, hey, all this stuff is happening with Eliza. They run into somebody at the airport, right?
It was somebody that's kind of just like a gossip they're not that close with.
And she kind of pushed him away.
Yeah. She made it clear that they were not together to this gossip hound.
And shocker, he gets upset.
Oh my God, another tantrum. And he's just like, you didn't tell your friends about us? And she's like, no, I want to tell them in person.
Which makes sense.
And he's like, I called my brother. Why didn't you call your friends?
Yeah.
And so they get a little fight, but I'm sure they just bang it out and whatever. So she has lunch with her friends and she's like, Nathan and I are in love. Can you believe it? And they're like, sweetie.
They're like, you forgot he's gay, right?
He's gay. Did you forget? And they're like, honey, this is the worst idea ever. This is never going to work out. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 100% going to leave you for another dude. And she is crushed.
Right.
She's
like,
so sad.
She has to leave. She's just so upset.
She's really, really sad.
She was really hoping that they would be happy.
Yeah.
But in their defense, that's what I would say too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a friend of somebody.
If you're a true friend, you'd be like, are you sure?
And if you told me, yeah, I fell in love with my gay best friend, I'd be like.
No, like a good, solid friend would give it to you straight.
Right.
Right. So I think they were pretty harsh, but they're true friends. And they told her what they really thought about it. But she goes home and she's pretty bummed. But she gets in the bath, like trying to relax. And then Nathan comes home with a gift for her, which truthfully feels like a gift for him. But it's always about him. He brings home butt plugs. And not your average Joe of butt plugs. Designer butt plugs. And she's like, why are there two? And he's like, training. And I was like, ugh. And she immediately is thinking, like, his dick is massive. There's just no way. A week ago, his elephant trunk barely fit.
In her tiny vagina.
And now we're going to test.
The other hole.
But he just tells, like, I've been dying to get in that booty.
I'm sorry. If his dick is that big,
it's not going
her ass is about to get tore up.
So I like how he brings them home. And instead of giving her some time to get used to this idea, he's like, get in the bedroom. We're going to put these things in. She's like,
and he pops it in her mouth. So like, this to is warm it up.
Yeah. She's internally
it's like,
panicking.
Why don't you pop it in your mouth?
And he puts... He puts the plug in her mouth, warm it up. And he goes, keep this warm while I hop in the shower. I was like, what? You're going to take a shower right now where she has the plug in her mouth? Is that a long time to have? I don't know. It seems like a long time.
I just picture her just laying in bed, like almost with like pacifier in her mouth, just being like, all right.
For like 5 minutes like, while he showers.
Do? Yeah.
And so he comes back out. He like spreads her legs. Mm-hmm. And then I guess...
He, like, pops it out of her mouth.
He goes, he says to her, literally says, give me some cream, baby.
I was like, ew.
It's like, what? He goes, give me some cream, baby. And he starts to lick her. And then, so he puts the smaller of the two butt plugs into her.
Right.
And she's actually like, oh, okay.
Yeah, she likes it.
She likes it.
Mm-hmm.
She likes it so much that she's like, give me the bigger one.
I was like, girl.
I was like, slow it down.
Pace yourself.
And he's like, yeah, baby, take it. And she comes quickly. He flips her over, takes out the plug, dips himself in that booty a little bit, comes back out and comes.
Comes back out and comes.
And so the next day, he's like a sex fiend now, right? Like the next day he pops into a lingerie store, picks her out some outfits.
Some corsets, some 90s, yeah.
Some like garters and with the strappy things. And then he gets home and gives her the present. I feel like whenever he would give, if he was like bringing home these types of gifts to me, I'm like, where are the flowers? Where's my tennis bracelet? Like, these are all for you. What's
it's true?
Where's the gift for me? So he gives her the present. And then she runs in and puts one of her new little outfits on and they do a little hanky-panky. Soon they move into their new, larger shared apartment. There is one thing. So she's been holding a little work secret back from him. Part of her job is to travel with her new boss mm-hmm. to conventions.
Right.
Where I guess they learn about new procedures or whatever. And she does finally tell him about this work conference that she has next week. And of course, he gets upset, throws a tantrum again. But then, like, she just gets naked and
they bang it
over
out again. Yeah.
Yeah, that's their MO. She mm-hmm. has a tantrum over something that's not a big deal. She gets naked. All is forgiven. That's like, that is the cycle that we are in. I think that night or the next night, they have another charity event, another charity ball, and she is fully ready, right? So she has spent the whole day at the spa getting her hair done and her makeup done. And
mm-hmm. she's kind of on cloud nine.
Yeah, and she's wearing the little corset and matching panties and suspender belt thing that another outfit that he had gotten for her under her white dress. And then she has an idea. This is for later for him. But she's like, oh, but what if I got a little action now? And like, can you imagine spending like 6 hours getting ready for an event and risking it for some action that you know you're going to get later? Hey, girl, you look good. Just yeah. No, doesn't listen to us. So she's strutting out there in the lingerie and it's just like, I'm ready. And he's like, ready to get fucked.
This, and then he goes down on her.
He does some licking.
Her vagina is like a Tootsie Pop.
He loves going down on her.
He loves going down on her.
And she hasn't had sex again in like 2 years.
She hasn't. And I just feel like the sheer amount of sex they're having with his big old dong. Like, I would think her vagina would be like, time out, girl.
Like, I need a break.
We need to rest.
We need to ease into this.
Yeah.
After he makes her come, he just slaps her ass and is like, get your dress on. Time to go.
I was like, God.
I'm so bossy. So they get to the ball. He gets them some drinks and she sees him talking and laughing with this like super attractive woman across the bar. But he comes back and he like gives her his full attention and mm-hmm. she's like, swoon, I love him. And then they mingle and do whatever you do at a gala. And then when it's time to leave, she just runs to the restroom really quickly. And when she's in there, she sees that same attractive woman he was talking to earlier. She introduces herself and this woman is Stephanie.
And this is when she finds out, oh, this isn't just a gym friend.
No, like this is someone he knows and he's clearly friendly with.
Right. She just loses it.
It's just like all of her insecurities are like a wave over her mm-hmm. all again. She's super caught off guard and just like darts out of there. Mm-hmm. And he chases after her. She tells him like, well, I met Stephanie, and his face just goes white.
But in her defense, like how arrogant is he to just like be openly chatting her up?
I know.
Like eventually they're going to meet.
I know.
They're
yeah.
at the same gala.
And they talk frequently.
Right.
So this is where she finally is just like, I need to know the details about Stephanie because you led me to believe she was just like a yeah. stranger at the gym.
Because he's leaving out very key details.
Yeah. She is like mildly dramatic with her reaction to this. She is like sobbing on for like for an hour on the bathroom floor. But like she was shocked and she's sad about it. The next morning he wakes her up and he tells her like, you know what? You can ask me any question you want about Stephanie.
Thanks, Nathan.
I know. So sweet. He tells her the whole backstory about like how they became friends and mm-hmm. how Stephanie like offered up her body to him to experiment. Jeez. Which like, Stephanie,
tighten up, girl.
I just feel like you're offering your bod out there to this guy who you know is gay, but you're like trying to turn him straight for you and love you.
Hey, if Eliza can find like 3 or 4 hot doctors that hit on her all the time, why can't Stephanie?
Stephanie can do it too.
Yeah.
I just feel like what coworker is like, if you want to use me for sex, that maybe it's like a Grey's Anatomy situation and it's not. It's different than what my office is used to. Again, with the boundaries. So he tells her the whole story about taking the lines of coke and having Stephanie suck his dick and running out, right? And Eliza's just like, look, if I ever see you.
And she sort of feels bad for Stephanie.
Yeah.
Because she's like, you just ran out on her. That's a dick move.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And then she's like, but here's the thing. If I ever see you talking and laughing with her again, all giggle, giggle, fun, mm-hmm. fun, I'm going to set you on fire, basically. She's yeah. like, I'm not putting up with this. And she shouldn't have to. He lied to her about Stephanie. I'd be insecure about that, too.
Didn't she ask him, did she want to have sex with you?
And
then
he
was like, well, yeah.
Yeah, she wanted to have sex with me. After this whole big fight about Stephanie, they just have sex again. They're even like, so this is the same day that he has to drop her off at the airport because she has this work conference.
Yeah.
And she even says, like, her legs are still shaking from all the orgasms that he gave her. And I was like, oh, my God. Give me a break.
She's got like an ice pack down there.
Like, do people not have hobbies anymore? Like, do you not watch TV? Anything? You're just only just giving out orgasms left and right. But they get to the airport and they meet up with Henry Morgan, her mm-hmm. boss. Henry.
I just love that Henry just knows. Like, he can just goat him, you know?
Yeah, and he does. And he's like baiting him. So Henry's like, he makes a comment that's like, don't worry, I'll take care of her this week. Wink, wink.
He's like, the fuck you will.
Like, yeah.
I was like, calm down again.
Nathan goes all caveman on him and is like, she's my girl, back off. And Eliza is super embarrassed.
As she should be.
Yeah, because he's like, if you touch one hair on her head, I'm going to murder you. I'm like, calm down. I was like,
she is a grown ass woman. She can take care of herself.
And Eliza's like, you know what? I need this week away from you. Like, yeah. I need some time. You're...
And he's so offended.
He is.
Me?
Me?
But I'm perfect.
I know. It's also interesting that Eliza, in her mind, is like, Henry doesn't even like me.
Yeah.
He does, girl.
Yeah. But she was like, this is how he always is. She said she talked to the other girls in the office.
And I think
and
he
they got
is.
The same impression.
I think he's probably just like a naturally charming guy, but like, he wants you, Eliza.
But he said in the interview, I am attracted to you.
There's like, no like read between the lines there. Like, he said it. So Henry and Eliza get to the hotel for the conference, and she just goes to her room and orders some room service. And when she gets there, she checks her phone and she has like 20 missed calls from Nathan.
Yeah.
And she just like turns her phone off.
Like, is he working? To call someone 20 times.
Are you not doing any more maintenance on that Bionic cart? Nothing. Just
self-sufficient
done.
Now?
Just
yeah,
done.
Got it? Okay.
So she turns her phone off, but then he just calls her room and she's just irritated with him, but she also like can't stay mad at him. And so one night at the conference, there's a dinner and drinks event at the hotel and everyone's just like kind of getting sloshed. It sounds like these conferences are just like a wild week away for these doctors. And she's introduced to a nice guy, Xavier, and they get to chatting and it comes up that she's dating Nathan Mercer and people in that industry know his name. This Xavier guy is like clearly surprised to hear that she's dating him. And so when they're alone later, she's like, you seem surprised by that. And he's like, yeah, I used to date him.
Mm-hmm. She got the impression though that it was him because he said something like, oh, I knew somebody that knows him.
Like, I had a friend who dated him.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, she was like,
it's you, isn't it?
It was you, right? He says that, yeah, him and Nathan dated for about a month and he fell in love with Nathan, but Nathan just kind of dropped him and kind of ghosted him a little
bit. Yeah, because they spent like every weekend together for a month. Mm-hmm. And it was also the same month that she was away in France.
Yeah, she's asking him questions and like piecing together a timeline. Mm-hmm. And it was like a month that
I feel
she
like
was
he
in Europe.
Just used him
to fill a void,
to fill the time when Eliza was gone.
Yeah, so whenever she got back, he just stopped
talking
to this guy. Yeah, and then
because Nathan is a dick.
The Xavier guy does make a comment that kind of sends her into like a little bit of a mental spiral because she mentions to him that they've been friends for years and he's like, oh, that makes sense.
Right. And she's like, what does that mean?
She's like, what? She kind of thinks on this for the next couple days. And at the end of the conference, she runs back into this guy and she's like, hey, what did you mean the other night? Just I'm just curious what you meant by whenever you said that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And he like reluctantly tells her there's a thing in the gay community where when men get to a certain age, they kind of have this like primal instinct to have children. He may not even, and sometimes like gay men will hook up with longtime girlfriends, fall in love, have a child, and then leave
after a few
resume their previous lifestyle. He was like, he's probably not doing that on purpose.
Right. So I think he realizes like what he just said.
Yeah.
And he can see the reaction on her face. And
yeah.
So he tries to backtrack a little and he's like, well, I'm sure he loves you. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. I'm sorry.
And he's like, he may not be doing it. And even if he is, he may not know he's doing it to you.
Right. And I think that's what threw her is when he said he might not even realize he's doing it.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay, thanks. She's like, thanks for the chat.
Thanks for the mic, fuck.
Yeah. And she just straight up spirals out of control in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
She's thinking about like, what if he's only in this for children? What if he's not over Robert? Because a little bit ago,
when they were on their Spain trip,
they were talking about like biggest fears and biggest regrets and like that kind
of stuff. First day questions. Yeah.
First day questions. And she asked him what his biggest regret was. And he told her it was breaking up with Robert.
Leaving Robert. That's what he said his regret was.
How dumb are you?
I was like, oh my gosh, you're an idiot.
You're going to tell your new girlfriend your biggest regret was leaving your past relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just like asking for a
barrel
of insecurity.
I mean, the list is getting longer. Like all the reasons she should have doubts.
So she has a ton of doubts and she has no idea what to think. And she's second guessing that maybe he does still love Robert and he has that instinct for children and that's why he's with her. And she's just spiraling.
Well, she has no one to talk to. Her two other friends obviously think it's a bad idea. Mm-hmm.
And Nathan's her best friend.
Yeah, her best friend is Nathan. So who does she talk to?
I know. So when she gets back in town, Nathan picks her up and she just is kind of off and he can tell.
She's like crying a lot.
I know. And he can tell something's off, but they get home and just have sex for hours.
Like 5 hours.
And she nearly cries almost
every time.
Every time.
She orgasms.
Yeah. It's very odd.
And he's like looking at her as she's orgasming and crying. And he's like, you okay?
And she's like, yeah, it's fine. Then just has more sex with her. But I'm like, look, if your partner is crying whenever you have sex, either push for answers or stop having sex with them.
I just feel like your dick would be like sad. Like you would just be like, oh, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Like you don't want to bang like a crying person.
Right.
It's just weird. And they have sex a lot and she cries a lot. She's just so emotional. And then they just fall asleep. And the next morning, she just grabs his phone to check the time. And she sees a missed call from Robert. And she just like peeks into his call history and sees that Nathan and Robert talk on the phone
every day.
At least once a day.
Yeah.
A lot.
Multiple times a day.
Like who talks to their ex that much?
Mm-hmm. For 10 years.
They talk every day. And she had no idea, which is weird because before they were best friends and mm-hmm. that would have come up, you would think.
You would think.
But she had no idea that they were still talking mm-hmm. and communicating. And so now she's mad because she already had those doubts, right? She just like gets up, gets dressed, puts on some red lipstick because she needs some confidence.
But he loses it with the red lipstick. He's like, who are you wearing that lipstick for?
Yeah,
I was like, calm down.
He's just like gaslighting her. Like, uh-huh. Who are you dressing up for? She's like, no, I need this to get through the day.
Me. I'm doing this for me.
I know. She goes out of the kitchen and Nathan is like, well, let's talk about yesterday too. Like, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I hate you. I'm not talking to you. And then she makes kind of like a little comment to him that's just like, when you talk to Robert, give him my love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn.
Good girl.
Yeah. So she gets to the hospital and this is like a bad day because she's already had this.
Day.
So she gets to the hospital and she walks in. Stephanie's like, hey, girl. Not what I need tonight, Stephanie.
I feel like Stephanie should just not be around her.
No.
Like, just if you see Eliza at the hospital, just
other way.
Go the other way.
But Stephanie's like, Eliza, do you have a minute to chat?
Hey, girl. Hey girlfriend.
And she's like, no. And Stephanie's like, girl, I'm really sorry. Do you know what I would do to get a guy like Nathan Mercer to fall in love with me? And Eliza's like, yeah, drop to your knees and suck him off. And I was like, damn, shots fired. And Stephanie's just like, ooh.
And she just walks away.
Yeah, she's
awesome.
Like not in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
She's just not having it. A little bit of power and I like it. After that, Eliza calls her friends and she's like, we gotta have a girl's night. We going out tonight, ladies.
We doing this.
So she goes and meets her friends. They just get smashed, right? And then she just spills her guts to them, tells them everything that's been going on with her and Nathan.
And she tells her friends about Xavier, which was a big part of
it. And like her big fear about the children thing. And so when Nathan shows up later to pick her up, Eliza runs to the bathroom and her friend, a little inebriated, confronts him and is like, why was Eliza to have children?
Yeah.
And he was like, what?
Yeah. And he loses it.
He freaks out because he did not know this information.
Mm-hmm.
She did not tell him about it, Xavier.
Well, she told Xavier she wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah. But she had not confessed this fear to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he was so caught off guard. And I think he was probably more than anything embarrassed that her friend said it. A part of it was like a pride thing for him too.
Mm-hmm.
He is so offended. And they get into a huge fight outside again because that's what they do. And he leaves the next morning. So
like,
she's sad all night.
This messes him up. Like, out of all the fights they had, this is the one that really just, like, takes the cake. And he is so upset with her. He can't look at her. He doesn't want to be around her.
Yeah. And so she's sad all night because he won't talk to her. And then the next morning, he comes into the apartment. And she's like, oh, finally, like, yes, we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he barges straight to their medicine cabinet and is yelling, where is your birth control pills?
Right.
And she's like, what?
Which is so weird.
And it's so weird. And he finds them and yells at her again. And she's like, where's your period? It should be here by now.
Yeah.
And she's like, it should be here soon. It's coming. It's coming. And he's like, God forbid I take residence in your uterus. And he just storms out. I'm like, first of all,
like,
it's exhausting.
It's a lot.
It feels like such a toxic relationship.
It is.
And then after he leaves, she's devastated. But she's also like, wait. What if I'm pregnant? That night, Nathan comes home. He's like cooled off a little bit, but he's still mad and they clearly need to talk. But he jumps in the shower. While he's in there, she gets a call from downstairs that's like, someone's here to see you. And it's Robert. And she's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So Robert comes up. They have like an awkward hello exchange. And then when Nathan comes back out from the shower, he's like, yeah, he's like, what is, like, Robert, what are you doing in my living room?
Like, he doesn't even know, like, how he knows where he lives.
Right.
And Robert admits, he's like, well, I followed you.
Which is weird,
like,
Robert.
What is wrong with all you people?
God. And Robert said, like, when you cut ties with me this week, it made me realize that I'm still in love with you.
Mm-hmm. So he broke up with his boyfriend.
Yeah, Robert's, like, pleading with him, like, telling him he loves him and he knows that he loves him, too.
And for years you've wanted me back. Here I am. And that's the one that threw me. I was like, Robert, so for years you've been telling Robert you want him back.
Yep. But Nathan freaks out on him.
Mm-hmm. Tells him to get out.
Well, Nathan's like, I'm tied to Eliza now.
Choice words.
Tied. Those words get her because that makes Eliza think that he's only with her because she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. But neither of them know that she's pregnant. I'm not sure why she jumps to that conclusion so quickly. Mm-hmm.
It was just a poor choice of words. Like, you say I'm with Eliza, not I'm tied to her. Like,
yeah, it was a pretty brutal fight, really, between Robert and Nathan.
All Nathan did was yell, get out.
And he just like kicks Robert out, throws him out of the apartment.
And he's like, why would you do this in front of Eliza? And he's like, Eliza should know. And I was like, oh my God.
It's just like the drama. So much drama. So Nathan, okay, again, he just got out of the shower. Nathan heads back into the shower.
You know what? That's where I go.
For an hour. Mm-hmm. Takes an hour.
I can't imagine what their water bill is.
My honest point is water bill's not in his top five worries.
We live different lives, okay?
We do. When he comes out, they're both just like, I don't know, cold and detached from each other.
He's really cold and detached, though. He's still bothered by everything her friends had said.
Yeah, so the next day when they get home from work, he immediately just tosses a pregnancy test at her. Mm-hmm. And he's super cold about it.
She had already bought one, so she was thinking about it.
And she takes it and it's negative. But then it said like they both knew it could have been a false negative because it's early.
Yeah, she was only like 5 days late.
But like, I don't know how he knows this because getting a girl pregnant has literally never been on his radar before. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he knows like cycles and times.
Yeah, he knows when she's supposed to have her period.
When it would likely be positive, when it would likely be negative. And I'm like, he knows a lot about periods for literally never.
But not vaginas.
It's just very interesting. It's still like they're not convinced she's not pregnant. He's just like, we're not ready for kids. And it's like tense and awkward.
But I'm
and
like,
weird.
Aren't you like 34? When are you going to be ready?
Yeah. A day goes by. One morning they wake up and they're still sad and super disconnected, but they have sex. And he like goes to enter her and she's just like dry as a desert. And instead of that being like a red flag that she's not into it, he just like lubes her up and like
slides
on him.
He's like, let me get this lube out. Yeah.
Yeah. And the sex is super weird because...
Well, she's not into it, obviously.
And he tells her to come.
That's her body saying no. Yeah.
He tells her to come and she doesn't because she can't emotionally. They both know that sex was weird, but then he just like gets up and goes to work. It's so uncomfortable.
He gets up and goes to work. Like,
but then what happens? She gets her period.
So she calls him and he just says, thanks for letting me know. Mm-hmm. And then he hangs up.
Yeah. And this is, at this point, I feel like she's just like emotionally exhausted. And she tells him that she's going to New York for a little bit. She has a temporary job. She just wants to give him some space to work out.
And what does he do?
He's like, I don't want space. I want you.
Yeah. And I'm like, do you? Because you're not acting like it.
I know. And before she leaves, she writes out a long letter explaining in detail her feelings and why her actions.
And it was a sweet letter.
It was. And I think it really explained everything and all of her internal fears, all of her insecurities.
Mm-hmm. And in the letter, she's basically saying, look, I want to give you space so you can figure out what is going on.
Yeah. But then if you decide after you've taken that time that I'm the one for you, come find me in New York. Mm-hmm. I'll wait for you.
But if you end up with Robert, I'll be happy for you because I want you to be happy.
Yeah. We all want Nathan to be happy. But we find out he doesn't read the letter. He just stares at it.
And he doesn't read it for a really long time.
He doesn't read it for 6 months. Mm-hmm. He eventually finds a new therapist who's just like, if you want to move on, you got to open the letter and read it. Mm-hmm. But during those 6 months, she's in New York.
Yeah, they've lived very different lives for 6 months.
Yes. Mm-hmm. His life is having sex in Club Exotic.
Well, he's had a couple threesomes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she is like making new friends, loves her new job, loves the new hospital. She's like settling. She's sad.
She's sad. She's still crying at night.
But she's settling in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she can kind of start to see a new life for herself. Mm-hmm. Like she's getting there. She's still really sad, but like she's working on it. But he's just like miserable and angry. But during that 6 months, again, like she is close to Nathan's parents. Mm-hmm. It sounds like his parents live close to New York. And
Vermont.
Details. So her parents are like, hey, do you want to come spend a weekend with us or come see us? And she eventually does give in and go visit them. Nathan's mom was like, we just went to Hawaii. We have all these new pictures. Do you want to see? She's like, of course I want to see them. His mom hands her a bunch of pictures. Mm-hmm. And in those pictures, she sees Nathan on the beach. Mm-hmm. And she's like, did Nathan go to the beach?
Mm-hmm. So she flips it over and just like you, they write all the details in the back.
The month and the date and the names. She's like, oh, I didn't know that they went to the beach. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, yeah, he went to Ibiza. And then the next picture is a picture of Robert on the beach.
Robert. And this was December, so it's just a couple months ago.
Yeah. It was that point where she was like, okay, he's with Robert. I need to move on. And that's good. I think that was like the closure she needed. And so during those past couple months, her old boss, Henry, has been like, hey, I want to come visit you.
He's been a good friend.
He's been a good friend to her.
Yeah.
And he calls her and tells her that he'll be in town for a conference next week. Like, do you want to get dinner?
And she's like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, that sounds good. Around the same time, Nathan finally opens the letter 6 months later.
He goes back to Spain. I don't know if it's just to like be in the presence of what they used to have, but this is where he chooses to open the letter.
Yeah. And he reads it like he should have done half a year ago and reads the last line where it's like, if you love me, come to New York.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I gotta get to New York.
I was like, you idiot.
I know. So at the same time, Nathan lands in New York to go find Eliza. She has her date with Henry. And so she's at dinner with him. She's not into it. It feels like a friendship or like a brother. Like she's, it's not romantic for her, but she does spend like 4 hours, which is a long date. But
well, they're catching up.
They're catching up.
Mm-hmm.
And so after dinner, Henry is like, can I give you a kiss goodbye? And she's like, yeah, that's nice.
They kiss goodbye, right? And who does she see in the corner of her eye?
With like angry red eyes.
Coat.
Nathan.
She's like, fuck.
Because we find out that Nathan has been tracking her on his phone.
He was watching. Yeah.
He's got to find my friends on her.
Right.
And just watches her. Like when they were separated in those 6 months, he would just watch her little bubble in her New York apartment.
Yeah. And he followed them the entire day. He was watching them on their date.
Yeah. He was at the bar while they had dinner.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I was like, creepy.
A little creepy. And so here's the thing. So he sees the like kind of a platonic kiss. It wasn't like a make out between her and Henry. She gets in the cab, sees his face, and he jumps in the cab mad at her.
Yeah.
He's yelling at her for kissing Henry. It's been 6 months.
He's like, really, Henry? And I'm like, you have no room to talk.
You have lost the ability to be mad about this.
Right.
And she's like, what have you been doing for the past 6 months?
Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Like, having threesomes at Club Exotic. Like,
right.
What, you have no legs to stand on. Of course, they argue. And then he's like, well, just talk to me for a minute. And they go into a bar and he tells her, you know, I opened the letter just this week and I want to get back together.
And she was like, what?
And she's mad at him. And he tells her that he hasn't been with Stephanie or Robert. The Ibiza trip was like a group trip. That was unclear for me. I'm like, why are you going on group trips with Robert?
Yeah.
That's weird. She's like, no, I'm not getting into this with you. But she does say that like her temporary job is up and she's
moving back
to San Francisco.
So he gets all hopeful.
Yeah. And she's like, look, all I can offer you right now is friendship.
Yeah. And like a dick. He's like, no. He's like, I want what I want. I don't want to do this with you.
I know.
Yeah.
And so they get into a fight. But he does text her the next day and it's just like, fine, if you want to be friends, I'll be friends.
Such a brat.
And then asks if they can get lunch before his flight leaves that next day. And they have just like a really tense, kind of a weird lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But that night she has, and again, like his plane was supposed to leave that afternoon. So that night, she had plans with some of her new New York friends.
It was a farewell party.
Yeah, it was like a little goodbye party because her job is up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting drinks. And her girlfriends are like, oh my God, there's such a hot guy at the bar over there.
And it's creepy Nathan.
It's Nathan. Watch it like he does best.
He's so definitely not saving any hearts today.
She's like, God. Just breaking them. So she's like, oh, I know that guy. And so she walks over and brings him back to the table. And the girls are like, oh, who are you? What's your favorite hobby?
And he is working it. He is just winning those girls
charm,
over.
Charm, 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 charm.
And she's like, this is the most charming he has ever been, ever.
Yeah, she's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And one girl, she literally goes, what's your favorite hobby? And he goes,
horseback riding.
He goes, horse riding. And Eliza's like, you don't horseback ride. And then he like winks at her and
you mean sex.
Is sex a hobby?
I mean, to some people, I'm sure.
Either way. They're at the bar later and he's like, I have a proposition for you.
Mm-hmm.
And since she only wants to be friends and he apparently only wants to have sex with her, he suggests a friends with benefit situation where he just like goes down on her all the time.
This is just another sign that he only thinks about himself.
This is the worst idea ever. I mean, this has never worked out in the history of relationships, friends with benefits, especially when you used to date.
Yeah.
But she's like, yeah, that sounds good.
I was like, girl, come on, Eliza.
You are backsliding so hard. Even that night, he's like, let's get out of here.
Yeah. So they go back to her apartment.
Yeah. Or his hotel or something. Yeah. And he's just like, get naked. And she's like, yes, sir.
like, God.
And then he like throws her on the bed. He starts, then he's like, touch yourself.
Yeah. He's like, I've missed you, Tiny.
And then he touches himself, and and it says he spreads his pre-cum on her lips.
Oh, I didn't. I missed that part.
You missed that? I was like,
Need some lip gloss?
It's like Vaseline. And then he gets down. He gets on down there and just starts lapping up some juices. And then she comes quickly like she does.
Uh-huh.
He's like getting ready to like get in there. And she's like, careful. And he says the weirdest thing. He goes... I can't even say it. He goes, your body loves my cock. She sucks him in. And I was like, ugh, what? For some reason, that one, I was just like, oh
it
my God.
It reminded me of like a turkey baster.
And then they just have sex for hours. They have like marathons, it feels like. But then the next morning, he has to get up because he has an early flight, and they just like play it casual, like bang buddies.
But she's just like, okay, bye. And he's like, okay, I'm leaving. And she's like, bye.
Yeah, she's like trying to be cool. And then they get back to San Francisco, right? Like her job is up and she does move back.
She's moving into her apartment.
Yeah, and she's kind of like, oh, I could go for some D. So she texts him. An eggplant emoji.
So she's trying to be playful.
Yeah. And so they agree on a time for that night. And she spends like the whole day like getting herself ready, getting herself all like groomed and shaved. And then at the time that he's supposed to show up, she gets a knock at the door and it's a delivery guy with a box of eggplants. And I was like, okay.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah. Like he knew she would. She packs a bag and goes over to his place. She does say, like, I do want to fix our problems, but I want to date for a little bit and not move in and make it so serious so fast. And then she takes him to the couch and gets on her knees and I'm like, have some self-respect.
He never has to work for it.
No.
Ever.
No. The next morning, she's like, you know what? Like, I really do need to see Henry and I need to tell him that I'm not interested. I need to kind of bookend that. And of course, he's furious. And I'm just like back to old habits so quickly for them. They fight over everything.
I'm like, this is a good opportunity for you to like act like an adult and just be like,
show
okay.
Like, yeah, turn a new leaf.
She's trying to be a good person, try to end things in a clean way.
But no, he's fighting with her about the dress she's wearing. It's too sexy, and about how long she plans to be at dinner with him. It's going to be too long, and how she can't have wine before she goes because she needs to be like fully there.
She needs to run.
It's like a lot. It's like very controlling. She does go to dinner with Henry, lets him down easy, and then meets up with Nathan after.
Henry does ask, are you guys back together?
And she's like, yeah.
She's like, yeah. And he's like, why? Yeah. Like, what do you see in him?
I know. And this whole time, Nathan's
been...
We don't know. And so this whole time, Nathan's been, like, outside of the restaurant waiting for like a crazy person about to barge in because it's taking too long for his timetable. And they get into another little fight outside. Like, what were you doing in there for so long? They have a fight outside of the restaurant. But then they get in the car and all of a sudden...
It changes immediately. She's like, eh, it's okay.
And she's... Not only that, she's just like, you know, I think it's going to work between us.
I'm like, I don't think so.
I was like, is it?
He's kind of a psycho.
It's just like hot and cold. And now for some reason, she has like this thing wash over her where she's just like, we're meant to be and it's all going to work out. So Eliza stops by his office the next day and they're kind of like, she's like, what?
And the assistants are like super excited that she's
they're
back
like,
because he
you.
Has been so horrible.
Yeah, he's been so mean to
so
them.
He's so rude to them.
Yeah, so when she's back, he's like in a way better mood. And so she's in his office and they're kind of cuddling in his chair together. And he gets a call and it's his new therapist who's like, oh, I forgot to send you our session recordings. And he's like, you know what? Send them to Eliza so she can listen to them. Because they're doing this whole like no secrets thing.
I get that. But also I felt like, let's just put one more thing on her. You know what I mean? Let's put all of your therapy sessions on her now.
That's heavy.
Right?
Because now she has to listen to hours of tape of you like talking about how sad she made
you.
You
can't even like at all pay attention to her feelings.
Can't you tell her how you feel? You're too lazy. You have to have her listen to how you feel. I don't know. But they have a quickie in the office. So, I mean, they're fine. And then she's at his apartment that night cooking dinner.
Oh, yeah. They have sex in the conference room. Mm-hmm. Real professional.
But she's cooking dinner and she's like, oh, those session recordings. She listens.
Also, by the way, what? She cooks dinner all the time.
All the time.
I just, oh my God.
I know. But she listens to just enough of those sessions that she now knows he loves her deeply and he was so hurt by her, thinking that he just wanted her for kids. That was his deepest fear.
So she feels guilty now.
This is like a way of explaining his behavior and how he was feeling. I guess it was his deepest fear that she would think he was only with her for kids.
It's like his version of a letter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it just turns out they had like awful communication, which was evident.
Which is honestly a little shocking, considering a 10-year friendship.
That is true. Mm-hmm. But she comes home. Sorry, he...
yeah, he comes a lot.
He comes home, and she just, like, jumps on him. Mm-hmm. And then he proposes, which seems mm-hmm. early to me.
Because I thought we were going to take it slow, Eliza.
And she's like, yes! And then now we're at the epilogue portion of the books. And I say that because there's three. Mm-hmm. The first one is that he's got another gift for her. For him. And she opens it. It's like a little egg. She's like, what is this? And he like throws on the bag, spreads her out, mm-hmm. puts the butt plug in.
Right.
And then puts the egg in her vagina. Mm-hmm. And he's like, let's go dinner. Uh-huh. Yeah. And she goes dinner with like all of her holes all stuffed up.
Could you? I just feel like I would be walking like,
I know. So she's sitting at the table in the restaurant when he goes to the bar to get drinks. And mm-hmm. she like feels a little flutter. And she's mm-hmm. like, what was that? She's like, that was weird. And just mm-hmm. like sits back, settles back in and feels it again. And then he comes back to the table and he sees like a mutual friend or mm-hmm. he sees like a colleague or something. And he's like, hey, Chad, how's it going? Mm-hmm. And the egg starts to like vibrate mm-hmm. so much, like more and more until she literally comes at the table.
Right.
She's like trying to like be subtle, but like, I don't know how you'd be subtle mm-hmm. about that. And she realizes that he's been controlling the egg.
Yeah, he's got a little remote in his pocket.
And she's mm-hmm. been teasing her all night.
I was like, God.
All about you, Nathan. And when they get home that night, she is like ready to go.
Right.
But she soon finds out that tonight is the night for some booty loving.
Ah, yes.
And they have for the first time like real like.
Well, he's been training her.
Oh, God. So he finally just like gets in there. Turns out she loves it. So what can I say?
Man, Eliza, she's amazing.
So the second epilogue mm-hmm. is 3 months later.
Right.
They're back in Spain and it's their wedding day. So they get married. Mm-hmm. And then we have another epilogue, which is 5 years later. Mm-hmm. And we find out they have a 4-year-old, an 18-month-old, and she's pregnant again. Mm-hmm. And they're like a happy little family with like.
And her vagina's wrecked. But you know what? She knows a surgeon.
Oh my gosh, that was it. What did you think?
So, just so you guys know, this is almost a 600-page book.
They know because this podcast was 6 hours long.
This is a very, very long read. I'm honestly at a complete loss for words.
Same.
I was up and down. It was an emotional roller coaster.
It was
the most toxic relationship I've ever read.
Like, I thought the premise was, like, really out there, and it was unique and different, and mm-hmm. It was a page-turner.
I
really was like, what's going to happen next? Like, right. Well, how are they going to get through all this stuff? Like, right. I was interested in the plot and how it was going to turn out, mm-hmm. but it was just so crazy. It was like a soap opera. It was just like...
And after so many pages, you're like, man, this is really just about Nathan. Like,
it was all about him. I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, it was just... It was definitely a different type of book, kept me interested, but I was like, what the hell is going on?
I 1000% understood all her fears. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, she has every right to feel this way. And I understand he's going through things, but 10 years of friendship, you guys can't figure out how to communicate.
And then her friend who's like having sex with the guy who films her. I was like, oh,
yeah, she's the dumbest girl in the world.
This book, more than any, I'm like super curious to hear how other people felt about it.
We need to know. If you've read this book, please tell us how you felt about this book.
Marianne, I saw your post. I saw you read it. I got to know what you think, girl.
We need to know,
Marianne.
You got to
tell us. But Our next book is Riley Thorne and the Dead Guy Next Door by Lucy Score. Mm-hmm. This one looks really cute. I'm excited about it.
We read her previous book, By a Thread.
Yeah, that one was good.
It was a really good book.
Yeah. Well, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Let us know what you thought of the book.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and subscribe to our podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.